Shalom to all. Today's Av is Babasar, the Kufman Vav, and we are starting near the top of the Amud with the brand new Mishnah. And today's Av is sponsored Lilu Nishmas, Mars Merim Sar Basar Biakav Moshe, Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And we continue discussing these presents that a Chassan sends to his Kala. Remember, we have Erusin and then Nisuin. Erusin is where the man gives the woman Kiddushin, that's official halachic engagement. And then there was a long period of time, usually about a year, in between then and the Nisuin. And in this time period, he would send her presents. So the Mishnah continues talking about this. Hashalech Sivlanis Lebeis Chamiv, a person sent these presents to his father in law's house. Even if he sent 100 mana worth of stuff, let's say he ate the Sudas Chasan there. He ate a Suda there as well, a filu b'dinner, even if all he ate was a dinner's worth. He sent 100 mana, which is 10,000 dinner, and he only ate one dinner's worth. A nigvin, he's not allowed to collect them. If for some reason the Chasan doesn't go through, he backs out or he dies, maybe she dies, he's not able to demand all that back. Now it's important to note that the mission is only referring to things that are asuyin libalais. They're going to eventually get used up, such as food, drinks, and clothing that are easily worn out, whereas dvarim she'enam asuyin libalais, like gold, silver, and the like, are discussed later on. So in this situation, when he sent these gifts and he enjoyed a meal at the father-in-law's house, that's it, he can't demand anything back, because we say that he was Gaimer Das and he intended to mimakna everything to his wife, not because they're going to be getting married later on, but it's because right now he's so happy and so overjoyed at the current situation, so he's already makna everything now, and so nothing is given back to him. However, let's say loy achol sham sudas chasan, he didn't eat anything, there was no sudas chasan, hare ilu nigvin, then they could be collected. A similar scenario, shal sivlenis merubin, let's say he sent a lot of sivlenis, a lot of presents, and it was with the stipulation, they should go back with her to her husband's house. In other words, he stipulated very clearly, I'm sending you these presents so that you should take them into our marriage once we get married. That's what Beis Baila means. So then, Harayelu Nigvin, they would be able to be collected because he stipulated this very clearly. And by the same token, if he sent her only a few presents and it was clearly stipulated that she should use them in her father's house and nothing needs to be brought to their marriage when they do get married, ain't Nigvin, so then they're not collected if they don't eventually get married, because again, he clearly stipulated that she can keep them. Number of a Rava clarifies the first part of Mishnah, dafka dinner. It has to be that he ate at least a dinner's worth. Aval pachsmi dinner, loy. But if he ate less than a dinner's worth, so then we say that he was not gaimer das, he does not intend to be makne these things to her, and if they don't get married for whatever reason, then these things would have to be returned to him. The Gemara asks, pshita, is that obvious? Dinner tanan. The Mishnah says very clearly, a dinner. And the answer is, malutem, you might have thought, hu adin afilu pachsmi dinner, that even if he ate less than a dinner's worth, he's still makne everything to her. Vadiktani dinner. And the only reason why the Mishnah mentioned the dinner is Urcha de Milsakatani. That's just the standard. That's how much it was usual for Chassan to eat. But even if he ate something worth less than a dinner, he would still be makin everything to her. Kamashman, the chiddush is that if he ate less than a dinner, he actually is not makin everything to her. We continue analyzing. Achal Tanan, it says in the Mishnah that he ate Shasamai. What about if all he did was drink and he didn't eat anything? Also, Hu Tanan, it says in the Mishnah that he ate Shluchemai. What about if he sent a Shliach in his place and a Shliach was the one that ate? And furthermore, Sham Tanan, it says he ate there, that he was in his father in law's house. Shagar Loimai, what about if they sent it to him? For example, the Chassan sent all these presents with a note excusing himself that he can't be there for a Suda. And so they packaged up a whole bunch of goodies and sent them to him, and now he has food from his father-in-law's house, but he didn't eat it in his father-in-law's house, he ate it somewhere else. Is that considered eating it there? And that means that he's makin all the presents to his wife, or no? So Tashma, we attempted right, Dom Rabbi Hudam or Shmuel, Ma'aseh Adam Echad, there was a story with the fellow, Shashagar Lebeis Chamiv, he sent the following to his father-in-law's house, Me'a Kronin Shal Kadayayim Shal Kadayim Shemen, 100 wagons of pitchers of wine and oil, Vishal Klei Chesed, Vishal Klei Zav, and of silver and gold, Vishal Klei Milas, and woolen clothing, Varacha B'Sim Chasai, and he rode on in his happiness, V'halach, and he went, V'amen Al Pesach Beis Chamiv, and he stood at the entrance of his father-in-law's house, V'yotziyu Kadosh Shal Chamin, and they brought him out a cup of warm drink, this is warm diluted wine, V'shasa, and he drank it, and then what happened? Umes, he died. V'zu Halacha Hel, Rav Acha Sarah Bira Lefnei Chachamim, this Halacha, this discussion, was brought to the table by Rav Acha Sarah Bira in front of the Chachamim, L'usha, this is in Usha, Brahman, they said as follows, in regards to Sivlenis Asin Libalais, all the presents that are going to end up getting used, for example, wine and oil and things like that, ain't Nigvin, so he's not allowed to take them back, as obviously he's referring to as Yarshim because he had died, and Vishainu Sanglibalais, the ones that are not going to get worn away, Nigvin, they could be collected. And Shamino, what do we see from here? Afilu Shasa, even if all he did was drink, because that's what happened. All he had was a cup of wine, and that's drink, that's not eating. Nonetheless, that's included in eating, and he's makna all these presents to his Kala's family. Now, the Gemara continues suggesting, Shami Simna Afilu Pachasmi dinner. Perhaps we could also learn from here that even if he ate or drank even less than a dinner's worth, he's makna everything, because we're assuming that a cup of wine is worth less than a dinner. However, Ravashi Vashi says, who's to say they didn't grind up a pearl that's worth 1,000 zuz and give that to him? This is what important people used to do for a fua. They would grind up pearls and drink them. Sounds interesting, but that's what they used to do. So maybe that's what they did for this fellow. And so we have no right that he drank less than a dinner's worth. The Gemara makes another suggestion. Shami Simran, maybe we should also learn from here, afilu shagruloi, that even if they sent him food and he didn't actually eat in his father-in-law's house, he's still makna them, because over here he didn't go into the house. However, the Gemara says, not a raya, kibes chomiv dami. Maybe since he's at the entrance of his father-in-law's house, it's considered like he's in the house. There's no right to that either. The Gemara continues. Ibahu, that's the following question. Mao sheishalish. Are we going to say that he's mishalish, which is explained as prorating? In other words, when we say this din in the Mishnah, that when he enjoys a meal at his father-in-law's house, so then he's meichel and he can't demand these things back. Maybe that only means that we're going to prorate it. If he ate one dinner's worth or 10 dinners worth of stuff, for example, so then he's meichel on that amount of gifts that he gave her. But all the extra beyond that amount have to be returned to him, or maybe not. And similarly, shavach sivlanis mahu. What if these presents went up in value? For example, he sent a sheep and later it had a baby. Now that he's getting this present back, because a sheep is something he's going to get back, does he also get that shavach, that baby that was born, or maybe that he is makne? And what are the two sides of the coin? Kivin di yisnehu, since if they're currently here, lididei hadri, they would have to go back to him. So reshusei shivuach, that means it went up in value in his reshus. I don't perhaps, kivin di avdi, if they got lost, or maybe they were stolen, by shlumile, these things would have to be repaid by his father-in-law's house. That means reshusei yidah shivuach, that they went up in value in her reshus, because she would have to pay if they got lost or stolen. And the Gemara concludes, take it, we're going to have to let the question stand. Another question by Rava, he asked the following, Sivlenis asunli balois, v'loi balu mahu. What about these presents? They're going to end up getting worn away. They're going to end up getting used, for example, wine, oil, or clothing that's going to get worn out, like we said. These things, as we said before, do not have to be returned if the chasana didn't take place. But what about, asks Rava, if they didn't get used up? For example, he sent two bottles of wine, they drank one bottle, but there's still one bottle there. So do they have to return that one bottle or not? We have a raya, the following halacha was brought to the table by Rav Achasar Rabir in front of the Chacham and Usha, and they said, Sivlanis asuin livalois, ein nigvin. These Sivlanis are going to end up getting used up, are not collectible by the husband, which ain't asuin livalois, nigvin. Whereas if they're not going to end up getting used, then they could be collected by the husband. And our suggestion based off of this is, my lav afal gav deloy balu. Isn't this also referring to if they did not get used up, but nonetheless he's meichel on them? Because they said, if it's asuin livalois, they can't be collected. And the answer is that loy, that's not so, de balu. It's only if they actually got used up, so then that doesn't have to be returned. But still, it's possible that if it's something that didn't get used, as in our example, this one bottle of wine is still there, maybe it does have to be returned. So we don't have an answer from here. Tashmi, we have another attempted answer, and this is from the Mishnah, which tells us, Sivlenis mu'atin shetishtamish ben v'hiu be'savia. If he sent her only a few gifts, with the stipulation that she could use them in her father's house, ein nigvin, they're not collectible by him if something happens. And it seems to me that means, even if she doesn't use them, she doesn't have to return them. However, there's still no right, because the Gemara tells us, Tergumo rava, b'yev v'savchata. It's referring to these small things that are of such inconsequential value. They're like these little hair things, maybe hair pins and little hats and things like that. They cost a couple bucks on Amazon. Even if she still has them and they didn't get worn out or used, it doesn't make a difference. He's meichel on them because, again, they're not worth so much money. So we don't have a ride from the Mishnah either. Now, Rav Yehuda Maravi tells us, there's a story of this fellow that sent the following presents to his father-in-law's house, new wine, new oil, and new linen clothing, and this was Shavuos time. The Gemara asks, what exactly is this teaching us? It's not like there's a question being asked over here. All that was said was, there's a story about this guy that did this. And the answer is, either you could say, it's teaching us how chashiv Eretz Yisrael is, that it was only Shavuos time, which is fairly early in the season, and nonetheless, one was able to obtain new wine, new oil, and new linen. Alternatively, you could say, that if the chassan was called off, and the chassan says, okay, send me my gifts back, and when they ask him, what did you send her? He claims it was wine, oil, or clay pishtun. We're not going to throw his taina out as being crazy, because in Eretz Yisrael, this is a possibility, even though, again, it's early on in the season. And we want something slightly different. There was a story with a fellow, they told him, that his wife was tarsanis, she couldn't smell anything. Now this has to do with the din regarding mumin, blemishes that are found in a woman. We place the responsibility on a man to ensure that his wife doesn't have any mumin, that she doesn't have any blemishes. And if he comes into the marriage claiming, oh, she has a mum, I want to call the whole thing off, I want to divorce her and not give her iksuba, obviously, because she tricked me, she has a mum, and I didn't know about it beforehand, we say it's really his fault. However, that's only with mumin that he was able to discover beforehand. If it's a mum that he wasn't able to discover before, that's called a mum besaser, it's in private, so he couldn't possibly have known about it, then even after they get married, he does have the right to divorce her without iksuba by saying, I was tricked and this is a mekachtos. And that's what happened. This was after kedushin, before nisuin, and they told him, your wife is tarsanis, she can't smell anything, and that's considered a mum. Now he wanted to check this out for himself, so he followed her into a churva, this is a ruined building, and he owned it, and he did this in order to check this out. And he told her as follows, I smell a radish in the galil over here. They were right near the galil, and according to one version, he had hidden a radish in his pocket, and he wanted to see what she was going to respond, if she was going to say, I don't smell a radish, or perhaps she would say something else that incriminated her, that he'd be able to prove that she can't smell anything. Now this lady, being quite smart and sharp, knew exactly what to say. On top, Amrle, she responded to him, and this was said in a joking manner, who's going to give us some dates from Yerichai, and I'll be able to eat it with the radish. She basically realized that he was trying to test her, so instead of responding, I don't, or I do smell the radish, she said something which still kept him in the dark. It was fairly normal to eat radish with dates because radish is sharp and dates are sweet, and so that's a great pair together. And that's what she told him. Oh, wow, you have a radish? That's great. It would be nice if somebody brought us some dates from Yerichai so we could eat them together. Now, we still didn't have an answer to this question. Then what happened? Nafal lachurva, this ruined building fell on her v'mesa and she died. Now, this guy came to Beis Din claiming that he wants to yarshin her because it's his wife who died, so he should be able to take her Yerusha. However, Amar Chacham al-Chacham said about this, since he only went after her to see whether or not she has a smum, and now here's an important factor. When he went into the churva, and we had said it was his, it's not like he was going there for purposes of chuppah, for yichud, with intention to marry her. He just went to see whether or not she could smell. So it's not considered like he married her, and Mesa, she died, ain't a yarsha, he doesn't yarshin her. And now we explain the last part of the Mishnah, which had said, if he sent her only a few gifts with this stipulation that she's able to use them in her father's house, so she doesn't have to send any of them back. And Yosef Ravim Saba Kamidra Papa, Vyosef Ka'amar, he was sitting and saying, Bain Shemesa he, Bain Shemes who, whether she or he died, or Hadr who, or could be that he backed out of it. Savlonis Hadri, presents have to go back. Machal Mishta Loy Hadr, but food and drink, which is basically all the presents are going to end up getting used up, that does not have to be returned. Hadjaba Ihi, but if she backed out and she decides she didn't want to get married, Hadra Filu Kisha Diyarka, she even has to return a bundle of vegetables, which is very cheap and not really so important. Nonetheless, she has to return every single thing that he gave her. However, Amar Rav Huna Brein Rishua, he says, we evaluate for them the cost of meat when it's cheap. In other words, in this case, when she has to repay everything that he gave her, that's including things that she and her family ate and benefited from, we're not going to make them pay full price for everything. It's not just meat, the Gemara is using that as an example. It's everything they benefited from has to be repaid, but only at the cheap cost of it. And ad kama bezoil, what does that mean? It's cheap, until a third less than the regular cost, because it is possible to find this food cheaply elsewhere. And so again, she doesn't have to pay the full value of what was sent to her. It's something a little bit less than that. And moving on to another Mishnah, going back to discuss on Matan Ashchiv Meira. As we've learned extensively before, Ashchiv Meira, someone on his deathbed, has the ability to give a gift even without an official kinyan. He can simply verbalize, I want to give this to that person, and after he dies, it's automatically valid. Again, even though a kinyan didn't take place and he didn't write anything down. Now, what we're going to be discussing over here is the fact that the person's giving it away because he's Ashchiv Meira. He thinks he's going to die, and therefore he's giving away all of his stuff. But let's say he doesn't die, miraculously he recovers, then we would say the gift is not valid, and the people whom these things were given to have to give them back. As Mishnah tells us, Shchemira shekasav kol nechasav l'acherim, Shchemira that wrote over all of his nechasim to other people, v'shir karka kalshu, but he left over a little bit of karka for himself, and then he had this miraculous recovery, matnos akayemes, it's still a valid matana, and he doesn't get anything back, because why did he leave over a little piece of property for himself? If he really thought he was going to die, he should have given everything away. The fact that he left a little bit of something over means it's not a matna shchemira, it's just a regular matana, and then, even though he lived, it's 100% valid. However, lo shir karka kalshu, matnos akayemes, if he didn't leave over anything, he gave over every last bit of his property, and again, he had this miraculous recovery, so it's not a valid matana, because it's obvious by the fact that he gave everything away, that he only intended to do so due to the fact that he thought he was going to die, but since he lived, he gets to keep everything. Now the Gemara asks, Man tana dozlina basar umdana, who's the tana, meaning who's the tana of our Mishnah, who holds that we go basar umdana? We've had this idea of umdana before. It means that we evaluate or we assess what a person is thinking when they do or say something particular. So over here, we're obviously going basar umdana. The Shchemira didn't verbalize, I'm only giving this to you because I think I'm going to die, but nonetheless, we're evaluating him, we're assessing him, we're being oimid what his das was, and that's what the Mishnah is saying. Sometimes he gets it back, sometimes he doesn't. So who's this Tana? Or Rav Nachman tells us, Rav Shimon ben Nasi is Rav Shimon ben Nasi, the Tana of a Brisa, which we quoted before as well. Harish halach b'nai l'mdina sayam, a fellow's son went overseas, he took a long business trip, v'sham v'shemes b'nai, and then this fellow heard that his son died, v'amid v'kasav kol nechasav l'acher, and so he stood up and wrote all his nechasim to somebody else, because he doesn't have a son anymore. V'achach b'nai, and then taram, his son walks in, he's here, he's alive and well, baruch Hashem. Nonetheless, matnasim matana, it's a valid matana, because the father never clearly stipulated that I'm only giving this away because my son died. Whereas Rav Shimon ben Nasi, Rav Shimon ben Nasi says that no, ain matnasa matana, it's not a valid matana, because if he knew that his son was alive, he wouldn't have written it. And according to Rav Shimon ben Nasi, this is umdana, where I made the father's das, that the only reason why he gave away his property is because he thought his son was dead. Since his son was alive, everything goes back to him. However, Rav Shesha says, Rav Shimon Shazuri, he, Amr Shazuri, Rav Shimon Shazuri, the Tanya of Brisa, it says, Barishaina, originally, how you armor used to say, if a person's being brought out in chains, that means the government's about to kill him. V'amar, and he said, kiss uget lishti, write a get for my wife, even though he did not say write it and give it. Nonetheless, people listening to him should write it and give it, because we say that he was all confused, his mind wasn't about him, and he didn't have the clarity of mind to add on, I want you to give it as well. But it's obviously meant to say write it and give it. Now this was originally. However, Chazru Laimar, they went back to say, also somebody who's going on a sea journey, or he's going on a shara, which is a caravan, like through the desert, or a very long journey on land. If he said this as well, write a get for my wife, and he didn't say give it, nonetheless, yes, we understand that he means to say, give the get to my wife. Whereas Rav Shimon Shazuri, Rav Shimon Shazuri adds on, af ha-mesukin, even if a person is dangerously ill, that's our Shchiv Meirav our Mishnah, if he says, write a get for my wife, even though he didn't say give it, we understand he means to say, write it and give it. And so here we see Rav Shimon Shazuri holds that we go baser umdina, and so our Mishnah could be like him. Now the Gemara asks, Rav Nachman, my time, Rav Shimon Shazuri, why Rav Nachman say our Mishnah is like Rav Shimon Shazuri, and instead he chose to say it's Rav Shimon Menasya? And the answer is because Shani Hoss, in that case, Rav Shimon Shazuri is different, the Amar Kisfu, because the Shchiv Meirav said very clearly, write it. That's not a case of umdina. Umdina means we have to evaluate, we have to assess what does the guy want. But here, we don't have to assess anything. He very clearly said the word kisvu, write it. And it's obvious that if a person wants to get written, he wants it given as well. And so we don't even need to come on to the whole discussion of umdina. That's why Mishnah can't be Rav Shimon Shazuri, according to Rav Nachman. We ask the same question the other way around. Rav Sheshes, my time, Mukum Lok Rav Shimon Menasya. Why does Rav Sheshes say the Mishnah is Rav Shimon Menasya? And the answer is because umdina muchach shani in umdina. But it's obvious that's different. In Rav Shimon Menasya's case, where the guy gave away everything the moment that he heard that his son died. So even though, yes, we do need to make an umdina, we have to evaluate what does this person mean. It's quite obvious that the reason why he gave it away is due to the fact that his son died, and therefore it's not like the Mishnah. The Gemara just concludes by asking, Matanul Hadaton Rabbanon, who's Madama the following Braisa, Haresha Yochel Mutal Mita, a fellow sick, he's in bed, Va'amruloi, and they asked him, Nechasechalami, who are you Nechasim going to? Who are you going to give them to? Va'amrulhan, and he told them, Kufam Zainab Alpha on the top, Doimish Yeshli Ben, I used to think that I had a son, Akshav Sheinli Ben, now that I don't have a son, meaning now it's become clear to me that I don't have a son, Nechasa Elplaini, my Nechasim should go to that guy. Or, Hayachayel Mutal Mita, he was sick and in bed, Va'amrulai, and they asked him, Nechasalami, who are your Nechasim go to? Amrulani told them, Doimish Ishti Muberes, I thought that my wife was pregnant, Akshav Shein Ishti Muberes, now that it turns out that my wife is not pregnant, Nechasa Elplaini, I want my Nechasim to go to that guy. But then, Vinoy Deshesh Leben, it turns out that he did have a son, Oishayes Ishti Muberes, or that his wife was pregnant. Ain Matnosa Matana, his Matana is not valid. Let's say this is Rishim Manasi, not Rabbanon, because we're Oimei Daitoi, we assess that the only reason why he gave this away to somebody else is because he thought that he didn't have a son or that his wife wasn't really pregnant. But now that it turned out that he was wrong, so it's not a valid matana. However, the Gemara says it's not a raya. Feel it him Rabbanon. We could even say this shita's Rabbanon. Daima shani. When a guy says daima, I thought that this was the case and now it's not. So that's like an umdina demuchach. So even the Rabbanon would agree in that situation that we don't have to rely on umdina because it's quite obvious that the only reason why he gave it away to somebody else is due to the fact that he had some misinformation. But now that it turns out that he really was correct, that he has a son or that his wife was pregnant, then a chasim don't go to the other guy. The Gemara asks who the karila my karila. The one who asked this question, meaning the one who assumed that maybe this is Rishim Manasi not the Rabbanon, what was his havamina? It's quite obvious that even the Rabbanon would agree in this case. And the answer is, Malatim, you might have thought, sorry, who the kamidkar, that when he says, I thought I had a son or I thought my wife was pregnant, he's really just mentioning his tsar, the difficulty that he's going through. In other words, he knows for sure that he doesn't have a son or that his wife is pregnant. It's just a way of expressing the feelings in his heart that he's sad that he doesn't have a son or that his wife's not pregnant. And therefore, maybe he really was makna to the other guy. Kamashma, the chiddush is that no, even the Rabbanon agree in this case, that if it does turn out that he has a son or that his wife is pregnant, it's not a valid gift to the other guy. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow discussing what the source of Matna Shchiv Meirah is. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.